It's time to get real, reality TV aficionados. Welcome to the Giorgio Says Podcast. I'm your host, the one and only Giorgio Takanakis, and I'm here serving you the juiciest updates on all your favorite reality shows weekly, as well as the hottest pop culture trends, and even exclusive interviews that will leave you wanting more. This podcast will keep you on the edge of your seat. We definitely need to talk about this. The Giorgio Says Podcast starts now.
All right, my friends, welcome to another episode of Giorgio Says the Podcast. Look, we're here. We need to talk about a few things, and then we're going to recap Vanderpump Rules. The episode was titled Jack's Attacks, episode 13. So much to say about this episode. But before we get into that, before we get into that, we do need to give flowers where flowers are due. Katie and Ariana's Something About Her Sandwich Shop has an official opening date. It is finally here. Yes, I want that Greek sandwich. So I don't know. May 22nd is the day. This is all according to the Sun. But this is exciting. This has been a long time coming. As we know, there was a lot of points where people questioned if this was even really going to happen, if this was just for the show. Seems that this is really happening, my friends. So congrats to Katie and Ariana. As we've watched on this show and on The Valley, opening a bar or a restaurant or any type of brick and mortar, specifically in Los Angeles, is a nightmare. So I'll be writing that down as one thing not to do. But yes, I will definitely be trying to get my hands on a Something About Her sandwich, because they look delicious, I'm not going to lie. And I love a good sandwich. But some other exciting news I want to share with you guys. I do have a Patreon that I did kind of discuss with you guys, and I'm going to be launching it officially next week. So you can access it now if you want. There are some things on there that are for free Patreon members. It essentially is going to be a home for all of the social media that I put out on all platforms. So if you are a member, you will see all of my TikToks, Instagrams, YouTube videos, all on one feed on the day that they are out. Some differences and exclusive content you'll be receiving is you'll be getting a new podcast episode 5 days a week. So Monday through Friday, you will get an exclusive episode just for Patreon. You will get the video access. You'll be able to watch the podcast, and it's ad free on Patreon. And I'm also doing a rewatch series where I'm going back and watching an old Bravo series. Right now, I'm currently watching Real Housewives of DC. So I just put up episode 2. Episode 1 of the rewatch series is free to watch for Patreon members. There's only one tier. It's super, super simple. And I will be continuing to add what I can to it in terms of content. But essentially, I'm elevating content, and I want to give back to all of you loyal viewers and listeners who've been with me since day one. So there's that. So you can head on over to Patreon, check out my feed, let me know your thoughts. But yeah, so that's all I wanted to say about that. And I also want to announce that I have joined the Acast podcast network. I'm very, very excited. You saw my Instagram yesterday, you saw my post. I'm very excited about this, and I really, really feel strongly that this podcast is going to grow that much more, and it's all because of you guys. So I'm so happy to call Acast my home for my podcast. This has been a labor of love, and when I started out, it was just very, very, very bare bones, very simple. I had no idea what I was doing, and I'm still learning every single time I do an episode. And I have a lot of people to thank. I don't have enough time for this episode to be able to include every single person, but there's been a lot of learning and, you know, trial and error. So I'm very, very happy that I am a part of the Acast family. So, but aside from that, we've got to discuss Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Jax was all over our screens last night. He was on Vanderpump Rules and obviously he was on The Valley. So we got our fill of Jax. So very fitting, the episode was titled Jax Attacks, because essentially that's what he did in this episode. But, you know, we need to rewind to the beginning because we do see that, well, first of all, Sheena seems to be really going through it. I mean, she's very emotional. We already know that she is postpartum OCD. She has some issues going on in her relationship with Brock for a number of reasons. One of those reasons being that she's not able to leave her, you know, daughter with just any old person, and the people that she is comfortable leaving Summer with are not always available. And Brock strongly feels that it is detrimental to their relationship and the health of their intimacy that they have time alone. And although I do agree, I also understand from Sheena's perspective why she is maybe not going along with that as easily. Because, you know, I'll get into this as well, but later in the episode, we discuss, you know, a different type of situation where James is met with some questioning around why he can't just leave his, you know, his fur baby with just any old body, because the person he trusts with his fur baby isn't available at that time when he needs to travel. So it's a very interesting situation, right? Because I empathize with both. I empathize with Sheena on that regard because it can't be easy. And I feel like I wouldn't have a good time either if the whole time I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if, what if, what if? Now, I know that's not the right way to, you know, think, but when you're dealing with something like what Sheena's dealing with, which is postpartum OCD, she's got those baby blues, but then she's got these intrusive thoughts that, you know, are hitting her out of nowhere. So she's trying to alleviate anything that may cause those intrusive thoughts to pop up, which is understandable. On the other end, we have Brock, who's also upset because he has no way of financially contributing because of the situation. So he's literally just at home with Summer, just being a stay-at-home dad, and Sheena is out there being the breadwinner, which, you know what? Yes. Does that look a little emasculating if Brock is someone who wants to go out and be a provider? Sure. But in this given time, it seems that it's maybe for the best because Sheena already has stuff going on and it's just easier. And yes, she doesn't seem to mind that she is the breadwinner because the payoff is she knows that her daughter's with someone that she trusts and is, you know, going to keep her safe. So yeah, there's a lot of wins and benefits to that for Sheena. But for Brock, it almost feels like he is just so lost in just whatever role he's currently playing versus what he thought he would be playing in terms of how he would be contributing to his family. And I just, you know, I feel for him, but at the same time, you know, later in the episode when they're at dinner celebrating what is technically their 2-year wedding anniversary, but technically 1 year from the actual wedding, you know, they discuss this and Sheena does let him know that those things do help her. That alleviates a lot of anxiety when he's there with Summer and he's at home and he's taking care of that part of their life. She also reminds him that this is his second chance at showing that he can be a great dad, you know, because as we also know, he was not able to be a present father in his first child's life. And I'm not sure exactly where he is at with regards to that situation, because as we understood, the mother of his first child would not allow him any visitation until he caught up with child support payments. But, you know, Sheena reminds him, like, look, you are showing that you can be a good dad. And this is essentially your second shot at being able to do that. And I agree with that. And it also brings up the point of, you know, Sheena saying something very valid in that, what, you know, these misogynistic roles and positions people are put in to have to fill these molds are working against you. Because essentially, if this is working for these two individuals and their family, who gives a shit what everyone else thinks about it from that standpoint? I know that's easier said than done, right? And she also is aware that she doesn't want him to feel emasculated. All this while the editors are chopping in edits of Brock sipping a Cosmo Pomtini with a, you know, fancy lollipop in it, you know? And I'm not knocking it. I think it's great. But it's just funny, you know, because it's like, she's like, you know, I want you to feel emasculated. And he's like, I know. And he's like sipping his martini. I think he just feels lost because he doesn't know what he's able to contribute outside of what he's doing right now, which is not essentially adding money to the pot. And I think that is essential for someone to have some autonomy in the relationship. I think that's always going to be important. So now I do know that he must make some money from being on the show and other things that he does. So I do not think that he's just sitting at home with Summer and not... able to work. I mean, through the social media alone and things that he probably gets in terms of sponsorship opportunities, he's making money. So, you know, let's all just take a beat here. But I do empathize with him. You know, he's trying to figure it out. But ultimately, you know, we see this episode that Sheena's really kind of triggered. You know, we find out that she's also really worried at times. She gets these intrusive thoughts that Brock's going to leave her for Lala, because she says that, you know, she gets caught up in the chatter when people say, oh, when, you know, Lala walks in the room, Brock's face lights up, and, you know, all these things that are just side effects from Scandoval, right? And at the end of this episode, she calls Sandoval out on that and says he's the reason that she thinks those things. And then James Kennedy also chimes in and says, yes, me too. I also think those things because of what you did. Sandoval then decides he's going to go ahead and activate Sheena in this moment by reminding her, you at one point were a mistress as well, ma'am. So have many seats. And with that, Sheena Shea was not good as gold. She was melted lava because it was like this exorcism came out of her. It was like she was reminded of something that she had been trying to work at getting erased from her image since pretty much season one of Vanderpump Rules, if we're honest. So the fact that he threw that at her and whatnot really... was it a dick move? Absolutely. But was it true? Yes. And two things can be true at the same time, right? Sandoval was a dick, but what he said was true. And on top of it, Sheena's also proven that she's willing to take whatever the situation is and make it about her to the extent that she will justify capitalizing on it. Dare I say more so than Ariana, in the sense, and I mean this in the sense of how she profited off talking about it. You know, Ariana didn't go make a song about it necessarily. She didn't go, she got other opportunities out of this. But Sheena almost rode the heels of this whole scandal and really solidified herself financially and made sure that she sucked every penny out of it that she could. And the way that she justified that was, well, Raquel lied to me and the restraining order, and you lied and talked too much at the reunion last year. And so, yes, I am going to write a song called Apples, and I'm going to talk about how it impacted me, even though I wasn't the one cheated on. I'm more upset than Ariana is, seemingly, because I keep doing things that seemingly capitalize off the whole situation. So, yeah, there you have it. And then, you know, it's just this struggle of, for me, Sheena's struggle of trying to feel relevant in her own life, she's gone and done pretty much whatever it is that she wants to do at this point and continues to thrive. It just feels like to me that there's a little bit of hypocrisy when it comes to how far she's going to drag out, how much she's going to take from the situation. You know, Listen, I know Lala is not everyone's favorite person right now, but what I will say is, did Lala also capitalize off Scandoval? Absolutely, she did. There's no denying that. But did she pull it off? Like, did she pull back after a certain point? Yes, when she got her house in Palm Springs, it's like, okay, I'm good. Because who wouldn't have? I think most of everyone on that cast cashed in on Scandoval in any way that they could, if I'm honest. So I'm not looking at everyone in that way, but Sheena did go for it the most. Her podcast, literally every episode was about this. So, you know, I understand where it's like, okay, can you move on, Sheena? Because it just feels like you keep trying to draw more from a stone that has nothing left, really. And frankly, people are tired of this. We're ready to move on as well, as the audience, as the viewer. We're ready to kind of keep it moving. We obviously need to discuss, like I was mentioning earlier, we have this situation where James Kennedy and Allie are in a little bit of a pickle when it comes to traveling, because Allie's in her really good friend's wedding in Ohio. They had already said that they were going. James is going to attend with Allie. And usually, I guess, you know, if there were to be a situation where James and Allie had to travel, then James's brother would be the one that James trusts to watch Graham. I guess at some point, something changed. James's brother is no longer available to watch Graham that weekend. So, you know, James is kind of letting Allie know, like, I can't just leave him with anyone. And if my brother can't watch him, then I'm not going to be able to go. This obviously upsets Allie because she feels like, okay, well, that's wild. Like, here we are, already had this stuff planned. Now, all of a sudden, because your brother can't watch the dog, now you can't come support me while I go be in my really good friend's wedding in Ohio. Now, do I think that's a little bit overkill? Because honestly, like, yes, is it annoying? Yeah, but is it the end of the world? No. Because if really you understood where he was coming from with that, you would also understand that that's not worth the anxiety that you would have to deal with if he did leave the dog with someone random and had anxiety the entire time. You'd be through the roof, right? You might as well just go on your own. It's your good friend anyway. It's not like you're going to, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit unnecessary to just pounce on him. He just got the dog back as well. So it's like, you know, let's give him some time to like get over the PTSD of losing him the first time. And as someone who is a fur baby daddy, like, I'm sorry. I am team James here. I do not have children, so I'm not going to speak to the, there's no comparison because I can't, in my mind, compare the two. I understand that they're not even on the same level. However, based on my experience of being a dog parent and how much I am very much hands-on, I would never leave my dogs with any old body. It's not a matter of just having a body here to watch them because I want to go do something. No, unless it's an emergency, unless there's something really, really detrimental happening. And I mean detrimental. But if I don't trust the person that's going to be watching them or they're not available, then it's 9 times out of 10 is not going to happen. So I understand why he's kind of having those feelings. But outside of all this, this show's episode was called Jax Attacks. We got to talk about the Jax of it all, because Jax is back and he's ready to start some mess. He's ready to start some shit. Typical Jax. No shocker there. If you watched The Valley, then you know exactly how messy, or we were reminded of just how messy Jax is. But on this episode, you know, his issues really with Katie. He wants to know what's her problem with him, why she's going around alluding to him essentially cheating on Brittany. And also he's
co-hosting an event at Sir with James Kennedy, which, by the way, there was a flyer and everything, and someone had to approve the marketing for that to go out. But don't you know, we get to Sir, and it's the day of this event, and Lisa Vanderpump sitting there talking to Guillermo, like, how did this happen? Who approved Jax? Why would he be here? The way he spoke about me in the press, who approved this? And he's essentially like, well, it's really busy, so the turnout is worth it. So we need you to rethink that situation with you wanting to get all upset and wanting him out of here, because did you look around? And let's be clear, she's just clearly, it's just funny to me at this point because she tries so hard on camera to essentially look like she's dumb smack, like she had no idea, when in fact she probably was the one that came up with the idea for them to do this so they could tie this together with Vanderpump Rules and cross promote the Valley. That's why we're also seeing Brittany on here so much. That's why we're also seeing Kristen and Brittany and Jax on the after show for Vanderpump Rules. It's a nice little segue to remind us to watch. Although I don't need any more reminders, quite frankly, because I love the Valley. I think it's setting itself up to be some iconic reality TV for Bravo. But nonetheless, where was I? Yes, we have Jax, who then enters the room, sits down with Lisa Vanderpump. And you know, it's essentially a pissing match between Lisa and Jax. Jax really wants to prove to Lisa that he can piss longer than her. He's, you know, more of a smart ass than she is. And she's just, you know, it's almost like she's like the mom who's got to deal with the son that keeps doing dumb shit and making a mess of things. But, you know, you really, as much as you've put them out, you still always let them come stay, at least for a night. And that's what this kind of felt like. So he gets up, gives her a hug, and he goes back to co-hosting this event at Sir. We also find out that, you know, Schwartz is really thinking about moving in with Sandoval. I'm not sure what's not clicking for Schwartz and why this is a huge red flag, but, you know, him and Sandoval drive their 1995 Ford Mustang convertible, okay, trying to give us very 90s vibes with the, like, the music and whatnot. Didn't land. You guys are too old for this. But Sandoval is going to support Schwartz because Schwartz is going to get tattoos of his two dogs that he shares with Katie, which I think is an astounding idea. I love this idea. I, for a second, thought of doing the same. However, that could get messy because I've had a few dogs and I would feel bad to just put one. So I have to go back and add a bunch of dogs' faces to my body. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But it was nice to see that he was getting his dogs tattooed. But the whole time, Sandoval is really trying to sell Schwartz on moving in with him. And it seems that all it took was Sandoval telling him that he's already got the soda guns and the draft levers and all that fun stuff already set up. And that's all it took. And Schwartz was like, oh, I'm in. Oh, yeah, let's refinance for 10% more, 22K. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. And then Sandoval gets so overly excited on trying to sell the idea that he falls out of his seat. And you're just reminded at how goofy these men in their 40s are, and how would anyone take you seriously and want to even think to marry you, quite honestly? It feels like you're hanging out with a bunch of frat guys when you're, like, watching them. And this was, like, a classic moment of, like, just typical, like, you are too old for this shit. Like, seriously? I will say I did love this moment. It was a highlight in the episode. Katie and Schwartz are meeting up, and Schwartz is so excited to show his terrible, terrible bleach job to Katie, and Katie's facial expressions say it all. And she just asks, why would you do that? What is going on in your life that you did this to yourself, and who did this to you? And he's like, oh, Joe did it. You don't like it? And she's like, oh, God. Oof. This is horrible, because it is. It is. It could have used another bleach and another toning, in my opinion, but nonetheless. So that was a highlight. It was also funny that they're still doing this pissing match with, you know, this, is her name Tori? The one that they both went out on a date with. That's clearly strictly just for storyline on the show. But nonetheless, they both text her at this pretty much the same time to see who she's going to respond to first. And by Katie's logic, she responds to Schwartz first because he was the message at the top of her message list. And so she went by order. Now, I'm going to say I'm not buying that only because I always, at least me, I'm cognizant of who texted first. So I never answer from the top down. I go from the bottom up in terms of unread. Just throwing that out there, not that you guys care. But essentially, you know, I'm not sure how long this storyline is going to play out for, but I'm kind of done with it at this point. Like, we get it. It was one date. I hope we don't keep talking about it. But, you know, at the Sur event, Jax does go to Ariana because he talks to Schwartz about, you know, Schwartz's decision to think, you know, hey, this is a great idea to move in with Sandoval. We work together. We should live together. We should do this. And Jax's point is like, well, then why don't you just get married? And Ariana's point is, listen, if I get the money that's due to me from this whole situation, I don't give a crap who lives there, what they do. Like, and I was with her on that. It's like, I don't care. As long as I get the check that is suitable for me, you could do whatever you want. So, you know. But James Kennedy has a little after party back at his house. And this is where things get really topsy-turvy, okay? Because, you know, Jax is there. Katie's confronting him, like, what's the deal, bro? Like, what's your issue? And so he kind of lays into her about, you know, you're trying to destroy my family. You're trying to say that I'm sleeping around on Brittany. And you don't even reach out to Brittany. And why is that? And she's like, because I just don't like you. And it's very clear, you know, Katie, she does not like Jax. And I think a lot of people can agree with her stance on that. And I think, you know, in this moment, it's like, yes, I could see why it would be hard for her to be friends with Brittany outside of Jax, because Brittany kind of at that point would, you know, take up for him a lot and kind of, you know, not really see what's really going on, even if she did see it. And we kind of see that playing out on the Valley. But in this moment, it's clear that Jax is ready to come back in and strike because he's glad to be back on TV, frankly. So he's going to take any initiative he can to make things happen when he's got a camera around him. Like, we cannot fault him for this. He is very transparent about this. He is the modern day Spencer Pratt. Unfortunately, Brittany is not going to be looking like the Heidi Montag of the situation because Heidi and Spencer would never. But at James's house, we have, you know, the whole issue around James being confronted because Katie spoke to Allie about the fact that, you know, he won't go to Ohio. And listen, like I said, I completely empathize with him. This is not something that would be super easy, nor would I want to put my partner through that if that's how they truly felt. If they were breaking down like that over it, it's not worth it. No, I'm going to go. I'll go by myself. It's not like everyone has their thing, is all I'm going to say. But aside from that, we get another issue regarding Brock and Sheena when it comes to leaving, because Sheena's ready to go. He's not. He's in the pool in his little Speedo, and he's just having a good time. He's having a good time. He's a little lit. And, you know, they've all been having cocktails. It's been a day. She wants to go home and put Summer to bed and read her a story. So she's ready to go. And it's clear in that moment that the issue really is, around them not having enough time together to just unwind. But I think that's also the growing pain of being a parent. I don't think they're ever going to have moments. Parents, let me know out there. I don't think you really can have those moments as much where you're not having to just get home at some point or 9 o'clock being the cutoff, because that's really what you should do. Do you know what I mean? So let me know. I mean, I feel like you got to take what you can get in terms of those free moments to go have a good time with other adults. That's what I think the reality is that's setting in for Brock. And unfortunately, it's not sitting with him in the moment very well. And it feels like Sheena has to almost mother him in the moment. And it's, you know, I don't think that that's going to work out long term, in my opinion. But we do see, interestingly enough, you know, the one person throughout all the drama between Sandoval and Sheena's freak out towards the end was Ariana's care and wanting to check on her and being worried about her. The only reason she didn't go over and speak to her directly was because Sandoval was standing there talking to her. And so she was like, I'm not putting myself in that situation. Love you, Sheena. So I'm going to watch from afar. But like, it's just interesting because, as we know, watching things outside of the show airing, Sheena's not been the most, in my opinion, nicest friend in the way that she's handled the way she speaks about Ariana's experience, the opportunities she's gotten, you know, received, etc. So I find this very interesting that Ariana was the one to go and check on her when Sheena was leaving at the end of the episode. But you know what? I have to say, I am pleasantly surprised with the way that this season has been turning. I know there are some produced moments. I think we all can point those out. However, I'm glad that the story is kind of evolving in a different direction. We're talking about other things and we're showing other issues rather than just sticking to the same old, same old. But yeah. That's pretty much the recap for that episode, guys. Jax attacks. I will be releasing the recap for The Valley that I do with Caitlin Marshall from the Besties by Bravo podcast. The episode is up on Patreon right now if you want to go watch it. Otherwise, the audio version will be out sometime tomorrow. But anyways, thank you guys again for all the support. And until the next episode, guys, I'm going to leave it right here. Stay safe out there. Have a good night. And I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Giorgio Says. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for all the latest updates, go follow Giorgio Says on Instagram. See you next time.